Let's again turn in our Bibles where we left off last time in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And I'll be reading verse 1. For every high priest taken among men is ordained of men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But in the days of his flesh he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard things to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye need that one teach you again which be from the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their good senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now this morning we're moving from chapter 4 to chapter 5, and the apostle continues to unfold for us by the Holy Spirit his comparison between the Old Testament and the New, as he compares the fact that Jesus is greater and better, greater and better than all the prophets of the Old Testament, and in this chapter, greater and better than all the priests in the Old Testament. The apostle is not only going to bring us this comparison and contrast, he's going to show us how the Lord Jesus Christ, in his unique office as our high priest, or as our last high priest, the mediator between God and man, is alike, is similar to, but is unlike the priesthood of the Old Testament and the order of Aaron and those who succeeded him by divine appointment. Now he's doing this because he is seeking to encourage, seeking to encourage the Jewish Christians that first received this word, those who were well familiar with the Old Testament. You know, one of the things many forget in our own days, when they open their Bibles, they don't open their Bibles and all they have before them is the New Testament. The fact is, God in his wisdom and his providence and his divine a plan begins at the beginning, and there is a reason that he has appointed and ordained that his people during the time past would have the Old Testament, and they would have from Moses on down until the time of the Lord Jesus Christ the pattern that God ordained and made the tabernacle and the temple from, the pattern from heaven. We read that in the book of Hebrews, that the heavenly thing, the pattern of the true and the real, are promised and laid forth in the shadows and the types of the Old Testament. And God had to teach his people, and the reason he created a priesthood and the reason he created the sacrificial system with all its elaboration and all its details, which were absolute in their own day, they were all instituted, ordained, and established because of the time of Christ who had come and has come. For they all reflect upon who he was and what he would accomplish in his life, both in his life and his death on behalf of his people. And so, again and again, year after year, month after month, and day after day, the people were confronted with the fact that God is holy, that God is righteous, and that God alone is the God of all things and has a standard, and men are sinful, and men are sinners, and they need mediation. They need, as we find later on in this great book in, of the Bible, this great New Testament book delivered to us on the basis of the Old Testament, on what Christ did to fulfill the shadows of Christ, that without the shedding of blood there would be no remission of sin. And so we have in this chapter, chapter 5, particularly in the first couple verses, a recapitulation or a summary or a review of the importance and necessity of not only the priesthood, but in particular the high priesthood and the things that he was appointed to do on behalf of the people, fulfilling the demands of God. So the groundwork of this epistle, the groundwork of the whole gospel, is laid out for us very clearly in the Old Testament. Even in the groundwork for this chapter has already been laid out for us in the previous chapters. Because here in verse 5, here in chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "For every priest taken from among men is ordained for men." There are a number of things, four or five things that we can take from this verse and certainly the following verses that the apostle is trying to outline and to prove. The importance and necessity of mediation, first of all, that a sinful man to appear and stand before a holy God, there's a need of reconciliation and forgiveness of sins. There's need for mediation. And that was the appointment of the Old Testament priesthood. For the priests were appointed and were taken. Notice the first thing that the apostle says here, even the high priest is taken among men and from men. It was necessary that in order to represent man properly and truly before God, God would take another man. Not an angel, not another created being. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Paul in that marvelous two books speaks about the gospel and the revelation that God has to us and that he has given to us by his Spirit. And in the second chapter, he says this. He lays down a principle that's very important when he talks about in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." He's proving a principle. If there's to be true representation, man has to represent man. That's true all through the revelation of God. man represented man in the Garden of Eden. And God appointed and ordained that Adam, the first man, would represent all that would come after him in the normal operation of faith. And so we see, not only from the Old Testament, certainly we're drawn in the New Testament, principally by the Apostle Paul, that reminds us the reason why we sin and the reason why we're sinners. We're constituted sinners because of the sin and disobedience of the first man, Adam. And yet, we have within the Scripture the glorious representation of the second man, and the Lord Jesus Christ is identified as the second man. Paul makes a great deal of this again in the book of Corinthians, in the 15th chapter, talking about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection, not only the resurrection of Christ, but the resurrection that we'll have in Christ even in the last day, when he speaks about the first man and the second man. For since in 15, 1 Corinthians 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Man has to represent man. And so the priest and the high priest was taken and called and appointed of God. We can look at that. We certainly looked at that when we studied through Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus and the Pentateuch. And we went back to Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. And then it's reaffirmed and confirmed in Leviticus, and then certainly in the book of Numbers, that God appointed and instructed the people of Israel and Moses to separate the tribe of Levi and to call and ordain Aaron. And Aaron's sons in their generations succeeded his direct sons in their generations, not only to the priesthood, but to the high priesthood, that they might appear before God on behalf of men. And we see that again. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained of God in things pertaining to God. He's called not only from among men, but he's called to represent men. And only another man can represent another man. And then the wisdom and the great providence and the unfolding of God's revelation, and not only was that so with sin in Adam, not only is it so in the Old Testament with the Old Testament priesthood, all which was to typify and to speak of greater things and better things. It was a shadow and type of the greater man, of course, the greater high priest and the final high priest. And that's what we see beginning to be unfolded in this chapter, and will be unfolded. It's just not this chapter, because we'll see as we get to chapter 6, we'll see as we get to chapter 7, the importance and the necessity of the work of Christ, both as our high priest and, of course, our sacrifice for sin. And the comparison and the contrast between that Old Testament priesthood that was temporary and the priesthood that would come to an end, but that priesthood that was eternal and established and would fulfill all the others. And we'll see that too in the fact, even in this chapter that I have already read in your hearing and that you have followed, it begins in chapter 5 verse 6, as it is said. Here's the contrast, there's a similarity. Jesus was a man, but he also, his priesthood was different because it's not of Aaron. And one of the things, there are many things we learn about Melchizedek, and we'll see that certainly for another time as we get into chapter 7 and following. But one of the things that we note about Melchizedek, he appears, and the scripture of course tells us he has no father and mother, and one of the unique qualities about his ministry to Abraham in his own day, Abraham the father of all who believe, and of course Abraham who takes offers God through Melchizedek tithes and offering, which the apostle takes up as very important in representation of all who are in the loins of Abraham, is the fact that Aaron had a successor. And Aaron's son had a successor. And Aaron's son's son has a successor. And all of them can be traced down through the centuries, even to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ's office and ministry was higher in that it was unique, because he is not, though he is one from among men, and yet his office and his priesthood and the administration of his ministry is not from Aaron, it's Melchizedek, who had no successor. Melchizedek is unique in many ways, not the least of which is the fact that the Bible does not speak of any before him or any after him in his priestly role. And so that is the fact, one of the truths that the apostle, here by the Holy Spirit, is trying to underline and to lay down as essential important. Christ is the last office, the final office, the completed office. There are no more priests in the church of God. There are no more priests in the ministry of redemption, for he himself was the last high priest who continues to make intercession for us. So there is that comparison and contrast. Now we've already seen, we don't need to make a lot of this because we've already laid this out squarely and forthrightly in the second chapter, when we read, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God." Already in the second chapter, the Holy Spirit has emphasized through the apostle here that Jesus was a man, and he was made and taken from among men in order to truly and thoroughly represent us. And that's why we read and spent so much time in the second chapter, when we read in the second chapter, verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise," meaning Christ, "took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them through fear of death might all their lifetime be subject to bondage. For verily he," the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we recognize and we emphasize over and over again the important doctrine, the foundational doctrine of the incarnation and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That holy thing, that was that holy one that was to be born to Mary, was conceived not by men but by the Holy Spirit, that he would be flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, but of course he would be different and unique. He would be without sin, but he was not an angel, he was a man. "For verily took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." He had to represent us in a full way, in a sufficient way, in a complete way, an entire way. For every high priest taken among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So the ministry of the priesthood and the ministry of the high priest, as it is ordained, was ordained and consecrated and established for God, was to offer gifts and, notice the word, sacrifices. The job, the principal job, really the only job ultimately the high priest was given, was to once a year to appear before the presence of God, His Shekinah glory, in the Holy of Holies. But he had to appear with the blood of the sacrifice, to sprinkle that upon the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat. And if any had dared to appear other than the high priest, or other than once a year, or other without the blood, he died. He died. And we have a record. We have a record of those who, in the Old Testament, who took upon themselves to do what was not allowed, and that which was forbidden, or that which was not ordained. They were struck down no matter who they were, even if they were the sons of Aaron. They had to be his sons in succeeding line, but they had to do what they were called to do, to present sacrifice. And we recognize this was the role. And there were others who tried. Look at Saul, King Saul, who sought to do that which was not in his ministry to do, was not in his role to do, was not in his position to do, to offer up a sacrifice, even if the intent of his heart was to do the right thing. Yet it was forbidden. And God certainly judged him, and that was one of the things, of course, that removed him and that removed his entire lineage from ruling over the house of Israel. Besides which, of course, he wasn't of the tribe of Judah, and it was prophesied and ordained that the lion and the lawgiver would come from Judah. So very clearly laid down for everything. All these things seem to be detailed, but they're not frivolous. They're not accidental. They're not incidental to the unfolding of God's revelation and the foundation He lays down clearly in the Old Testament, that the ministry of the priest was to represent the people, the high priest, to bring that sacrifice. And of course, again and again, is not that brought out for us as we move down through this great epistle, as we say, the sacrifice and the role that God had appointed for the high priest. So we read here in chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God. That same phrase was found in chapter 2. In chapter 2, talking about pertaining to God or pertaining to the service of God, or what we would call the worship of God. Later on in Hebrews, we read the same thing. Chapter 9, verse 6. It speaks about the role and following the role of the high priest and Aaron. Verse 6 says of chapter 9, now these things were thus ordained. They were established. They were instituted by God Himself. And they could divert from them. The priests went always into the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God. That word service of God is an interesting word because we find it used a number of times in our New Testament, our English New Testament. And we read about the service of God. We read it over in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we read it later on in the end of Hebrews. And the word, we read it over also in Paul. Paul, when he speaks about the advantages and the gifts that God had given Israel in the Old Testament over in chapter 9 of Romans, verse 4, he says, "Who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises?" The word service means worship. They work just as we come together. We call this a service sometimes. When is your service? This is a divine service appointed by God. It's our worship. We do many things when we come together. We preach. We read the scripture. We pray. We praise God. All these things are ordained by God and are part of just as all the things they did in the tabernacle and the temple to represent the people were to worship God. There's nothing greater and nothing more than that God wants of us is that we would worship and serve Him all the days of our life. We're coming together in a divine service to meet with God as He meets with us. And as we praise Him for His goodness and His greatness, His holiness, as we praise Him for His redemption, and as He speaks to us, He speaks to us, as Christ speaks to us in the reading and the proclamation of His holy word. Nothing which I read that from that. What was the point of what I read to you? One of the points was to remind us of the place that the Lord's Day has as we worship God. God desires that men would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so that was the role. That was the role of the high priest in the sacrificial system as he gave a sacrifice. Of course, shadow the reality and the fulfillment of the promise of that sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, and without mediation of the person and the work of Christ, there's no worship. We come in our worship in Christ. We come in our worship through Christ. We come in our worship on the basis of Christ, because we recognize the uniqueness of the Bible, the uniqueness of the message of God, the uniqueness of the Christian faith, the Christian gospel, and the ministry of Christ. There's no worship of God apart through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so here we have this beautiful comparison and contrast between the Old Testament priesthood and the better, the more significant, the greater, which is fulfilled in Christ. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. The reason why there are the gifts and sacrifices, the reason why there was a tabernacle, the reason why there was a temple, from the very beginning, as man worshiped God after the fall, he had to come by means of the blood because of his sin and his disobedience and his waywardness. That's why we need a mediator. And we need the mediation not of men or angels, not of packed dead saints, not of the church, but the only and sole mediation of the greater priest, the final priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on, and he keeps on this. And by reason, verse 3, Hebrews 5, 3, I got to hurry. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sin. Now here we see the contrast. There's the similarity, and there's also the difference. How Christ is alike, Aaron and the priesthood, and how Christ is different and greater. Because we see we can't deal with it all here because it's unfolded step by step. We acknowledge the fact as Aaron came and all the sons of Aaron came behind them, not only did they represent the people, but they had to sacrifice for themselves because they were sinners. But we've already seen, and it's been laid down for us, that Christ was yet, in chapter 4, yet without sin. He alone is holy, harmless, and undefiled because he's a perfect man. He was born by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary because he was not only Son of Man, he was Son of the Living God. The uniqueness of his position. By reason hereof, he ought, as the people, also for himself to offer sin. And no more taketh his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now here in this great rest of this chapter, which we don't have time to, we'll have to keep for another time, is the final comparison and the greater comparison. As I mentioned before, Moses could not offer the sacrifice. Moses could not be the high priest. David in his time, though he was a great king, could not be the high priest and do what the high priest could do and was called to do. Because any and all who minister to God need to be called, called by his word and called by his spirit and set aside. And it wasn't just the opinion of men, nor was it some internal desire upon man that gave them a divine call. It was the call and ordination of Almighty God to them and to them only. And the fact that Jesus was like unto them because he himself was called. He was called and chosen and ordained even before the foundation of the world as the final and the greatest. And then, of course, in the rest of this chapter, he begins to unfold that as we see he quotes again and again in verse 5 and then in verse 6. He quotes from the Old Testament because God declared him, God the Father, declared his Son to be a high priest and ordained him on the day of his baptism. Upon him came as the priests were ordained in the Old Testament with the oil from above, so God himself in the demonstration from heaven poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry at 30 years old with the descent of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. That's one of the reasons why Jesus was baptized. And we read there him saying when John, you know, first didn't want to baptize him, and he recognized you're greater than I am. And Jesus said, and the scripture reminds us to fulfill all righteousness. Remember John the Baptist, who his father was. He was a priest. He was from the tribe of Levi. And so Christ was assuming to himself the office that God had called him to and ordained him to even before the world began, that he would be a high priest. That's why Jesus was baptized. and ordained. And the Holy Spirit, because he would begin his earthly ministry as that high priest on that great and that glorious day when John the Baptist fulfilled his role. And the Lord demonstrated and from heaven declared, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, we recognize that these quotations go back even further than that. They go back further than that. They go back to the beginning of all things. This is a great chapter. A great chapter. And it's just the beginning of the unfolding which follows in the blessed work and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ as both our high priest and our sacrifice, who alone once for all could take away our sin and reconcile us to God and bring upon us the blessing of heaven. Let us pray.